Naso, Tavshin Ayin Ches. Okay, now if you take a look-see there, what we're going to try to do is we'll really just do like a survey of a number of topics inside the Parsha, and I think they're all linked to one another, to one degree or another. And anyway, so the top two lines just say, you know, we learned last week that Bnei Yisrael wanted to be like the Malachim, just as there's a machane in Shamayim of the Malachim, that they carry out the instructions of the Borei Olam. So too here on the earth, right? They wanted to be the Klal Yisrael, wanted to be the same pattern, the same sort of machane, right? The same sort of machane for the Borei Olam. They want to be there on his entourage here on earth, just like in Malachim and Shemayim. But just as every creation needs an ability to realign itself, lazen, you know, to what do you call it, to maintain the homeostasis. Right?
I love that word.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So too, right, in our case, in the creation of the Jewish people, we need to maintain our homeostasis, which requires sometimes fighting off infection and sometimes healing methodologies, etc. So, maintaining health, just like healthy diet, exercise, etc. So, for in a physical organism. So too in the spiritual organism called the Jewish people. Okay, so the first little piece here is Tzavas Bnei Yisrael. That's in Perikei Pasuk Beis. Tzavas Bnei Yisrael v'yishalchu min ha-machane kol tzaru v'chol zav v'chol tamei l'nafesh. Command the Jewish people that they should send out from the machane a tzarua, a leper, all the lepers, Cholzav, all those who are suffering from Tumas Zav, which is Tumas Zav is a person has what you call it, right, he has irregular emissions. The whole Tamilin Afish, and a person who has come into contact, Tamilin Afish, come into contact with a dead body. We know that the three different levels, in other words, the Tsarua, the Mitzora. Since his tumah emanates from Chazal say from Lashon Hara, we saw the case of Miriam. There are other things also that are going to Ras, etc. But Lashon Hara bringing separation, disunity between one person and the next, between Ish and Ishto, between what he called Adam v'Chavero, he speaks Lashon Hara. So that person, when he became a Mitzora, so now he has to be cast out of all three Machanes. So let's say if we were to use Yerushalayim as a model. So Yerushalayim is all Machane Yisrael. Okay? The city, Machane Yisrael. Right? The old city. I mean, within the walls that used to be around the old city. The Har Habayis is called Machane Leviya. Mm-hmm. Machane Leviya. And the Azara up top is called the Machane Shechina. Mm-hmm. Machane Shechina. So within Yerushalayim, anybody Tamei can stay here except for a Mitzora. If it's a Mitzora, he has to be outside the walls of the city. That's the greatest distancing. Mm-hmm. Within this the system of distancing those who are tummy. The person is a Zav, he can stay in Yerushalayim, but he can't go to the Har Habayis. Can't go to the Har Habayis, right? The Temple Mount. And the only way to get rid of that is, of course, is going to the mikveh when it's possible to go to the mikveh. Okay? To rather than going to the Har Habayis. And if a person, even if he's gone to the mikveh, and he's not a mitzora, and he's not a zav, but he can't go into the azora unless he's cleansed from tumas meis, and that requires the efer para duma, etc. Okay. So it says the Ramban, Yishalchu min ha-machne, achar shehekim es ha-mishkan, after he established the mishkan, they caused the mishkan to stand, right? tziva b'shiluach hatmei min ha-machaneh. The first commandment is to remove those who are tamei from the encampment. She'yamachaneh kadosh v'roi she'tishra bo shechina v'hi mitzvah noheges miyad ledoros. Right? This is something that's always required. In other words, now the Shechina is going to dwell in our midst because we're going to be Hashem's entourage here on earth. So we need, as it were, to fix up the system. We have to cleanse the system of any impurities if the Shechina, right, is going to rest in our midst. As Ramban says.
What would be the equivalent in Shemayim, in heaven?
In heaven, we really didn't need Tuma.
There was no Tuma.
Right. There's no Tuma because Tuma, all the Tet Mem words are Tame, Tamun, hidden, Tumtum, right, one whose gender is covered up, Tum, blocked up. All the Tet Mem words are indicative of blockage. Shemayim, like it says, Uche'etzim ha-shamayim le-tohar. In the Shemayim, everything is tahor. It's bright, it's clean. Blockage all comes from issues that come as a result of being in a corporeal world. Is it through interactions?
What about menstruating Kohanim? Kohanim? Kohanis? They have to go outside?
They have to go outside, very common. Yeah. Or Valkyrie as well. Mm-hmm. Valkyrie as well. He couldn't be. So in other words, if a person wants to go up onto the Harabias, he has to go to the mikvah, and when he caught him then, he becomes Torah that night, and then he can go to the Harabayas.
But the Kohanim were living with the Levim?
The Kohanim, I mean, in general, no one really lived inside the Mikdash. I mean, they were there, but they did have houses. Where were their houses? And people didn't have houses in the Harabayas either, mm-hmm. right? They had houses in Machane Yisrael. At Machane Yisrael, right? They would call, yeah, they may have maybe had sections because what do you call, they were more careful with Tumah and Tara, perhaps than the Hamon Am, so etc. In the Mishkan in the desert, I don't know exactly how they worked it because the Machane Levia lived in Machane Levia,
right?
So that meant if a person became Tameh as a Balkari, he had to go out of Machane Levia. Had to go to Machane Levia, so I guess they must have had other, other apartments to go to, the tents to go to.
Hotel.
And, yeah, I don't know exactly how it would work, but when once Kleister was here, so no one lived on the Harabais, no one lived in the Azara, they lived in the New Yerushalayim. So if you're Metzora, then you had a problem. It's okay, but you deserve to have a problem if you're Metzora.
You have to really go out.
Okay. So it says this fast time. It says Bemedrash Vishalchu Min Machane. So the pasuk says Hago. Sigim mikesef, right? Distance the dross, the impurities from the kesef. The etzei latzoref keli, and now the vessel. Once you remove the impurities, let's say you've got copper maybe mixed in with your silver, whatever it is. Once you've cleansed that out, now you can give it to the silversmith to make a kli out of it. That's what the Medrash says. As the Medrash says. Says the Sasemis, Ha'ininu b'yitzias Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, the Kabbalah Satorah, and they had Kabbalah Satorah, Nisrapu mikol hamumim, the Tuma, the Naasim keli lavodas habore. The Kodesh Baruch Hu healed, when the Jewish people arrived at Sinai, he says it's inappropriate that the Torah should be received, and Hashem's divine presence should dwell in our midst, if we don't look perfect. So anybody who had any physical or, as it were, tumah blemishes, physical blemishes also. When they left Mitzrayim, imagine they've been in slavery for all this time. People have lost fingers. People were lame. People were paraplegics, right? It wasn't like everybody, it's like everybody survived, with, a big chin. It's like walking out of the concentration camps, Rachon Litzlan, right? Mm-hmm. So now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu healed everybody from Matan Torah. And now they can become a proper kli lavodas habore. Ukamosha psolus with harovis monei shleimus hakeli a kelim, just like any admixtures inside the metal that the precious metal that you wish to use, right, that makes it prevents it from being turned into a proper kli, right, has to be removed. So too also here, chakasher hagu yotzu latzorif, when they were properly cleansed, then they could now be given over to the silversmith to be formed into a kli. Kulchen aide shleimus hakeli mizbara psolis. Yet the greater the shleimus of the keli, so also the more clear is the psolis that it doesn't belong there. V'zeo sh'amu v'yishalchu min ha'machane sh'aydi hiskalus b'nei Yisrael ba'achtus yispardu poli oven. In other words, the more that the silver is brought together, right, it's like a centrifuge, I guess, right? The more that the like parts come, what do you call it, come together, right? Because they have different weights, etc. So too, the psolis becomes separated. Right? The MS ki ein shir lezeh achdus. In other words, the more that the saying a very interesting thing. There is an external method. There is an external method of cleansing, right? And then there is an intrinsic internal. The more that the silver becomes silver-like, the more ki'ilu the nechoshes is pushed away. I mean, I don't know how you can actually do something like that, but in other words, if we'd love you to make this silver more dense, I don't know, the linkage of the molecules more, I have no idea, I don't know if it can work. If there's
so
such
get
a
rid
thing.
Of the stuff in between?
Right, so everything just, gets pushed out.
Mm-hmm.
And since there is no limit to the achdus of Klal Yisrael, so the more we become pure, right, one, all the other stuff falls by the wayside. U'kvochein labirur. V'yish machanen lifnim imachanen, and there are different levels. The different levels of Kedusha in Klal Yisrael, like we said, Machane Shechina, Machane Levia, Machane Yisrael, and it's also regard the different types of Tumah. Oh, if they all were healed in Matan Torah, so why do we have to send anybody out? Here we're talking about at the end of the first year, or the beginning of the second year, after the arrival at Sisa, why do they have to be sent out? Answer simple, they had the Cheta Egel, and now the capacity to become, right? But so Roim and Zavim returned. Of a Hefresh Yesh, but now there's a difference. Shemi Kodim Hayat Tarovas Be'etzem. Before Matan Torah, right? It was all mixed up together. It was a solution. Everything was all mixed together. Be'etzem. The Nikru B'nei Chorim. But now that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and called us B'nei Chorim, and as we have the potential to be totally free of the Yetzahara, is that Remesh and Israpu Min HaTorah, Chigrim, etc. When they received the Torah, they were healed, right? And even though it returned, but it's not returned, didn't return in the same fashion. Again, perhaps before, I don't know, maybe I'm being too chemical about it. Yeah, before it was a solution where everything was just all mixed together. Now it's more of a suspension, right? In other words, the loftier things at the top, the junk is at the bottom, it's all in the same vial. Perish Hashem Yisbarach Masal HaTorah B'Koach HaTorah Yecholim Lisrapos K'maymar Ani Hashem Rofecha. Through the Torah, a person, the Jewish organism, because we have Hashem in our midst, we have the capacity yet to separate ourselves from this tumah. And any tumah that is in contact with us is only b'mikra. It is a sign of instability, a momentary instability. But in our essence, we're pure. But as we are becoming unified through the Torah, so then the other parts are pushed away. He says this very interesting thing, and there is an effect of this also on Shabbos. They say the piece of the Zohar that Nusach Sfard says before Myra Kegavna, right? We become one through the secret of one. We unify through the secret of one. Right? And the secret of unification is found in one's complete and total attachment to Hashem, who is one.
Through the Torah.
Right. Right? Which is the way that we connect to Hashem. The Chozer, the B'nai Yisrael, that's the only way we can connect to Hashem, is through the Torah. right? Otherwise, if we didn't have the Torah, so we'd think maybe hopping up and down on one foot while inserting our left index finger into our right nostril is maybe the way to come closer to eternity. Right? But Baruch Hashem gave us the Torah. The V'chozu l'bnei Yisrael, ha'aros mikabolas haTorah l'cha l'chein mis'abrin minei kol sitra achra kanal yishalchum min amachem. That's why on Shabbos, right, all the tumah goes away, because the more that we become one, the more that we become, you know, attached to Hashem's oneness, anything else that's not relevant, that doesn't connect to that, falls by the wayside.
Hopefully. Go ahead.
Okay. So that's the first thing. That's the first thing in the Parsha. That's the first thing in the Parsha, is the story of removing the Tmeim, the encampment, and that's part of the health of maintaining the homeostasis in the Jewish organism. Next, the pasuk v'sivadu es chatosam asher osu ve'eshiv es hashomu b'rosho v'chamishiso Yosef olav v'nasan l'asher osham lo. In our parsha here we have a restatement of the din of osham gzelos. If I take something for you, or if I deny that I have something of yours, or I deny that I owe you money, etc., and I swear, God forbid, that I don't owe you this money, and then afterwards, right, I admit that I lied, I swore falsely. So, in addition to my having to return the money to you, I have to return the money plus a fifth, right, and I have to also bring an asham gzelos. This parsha was already discussed really in Sefer Vayikra, the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and the reason it is repeated over here is because there's a chiddush here, the din of chomesh, and the din of if you steal from a ger, and he dies, and there's no one to return it to, he has no relatives because he's a ger, so it goes to the kohanim, But in any event, the pasuk over here is the only time the person brings the asham is if he admits. If witnesses come and testify that he did it, and he didn't admit that he did it, so then he doesn't bring an asham. So he has to admit, he has to confess his sin. It's from this pasuk, v'hisvadu es chatosam asher osu, that we learn out the general principle that one needs to confess, one needs to do vidui on any avera he does. And that's mind-blowing. Dafka over here, in one degree, all of a sudden here, the source for the one of the fundamental principles of tshuva, the source, one of the fundamental components of tshuva, is found where? In the story of what we call of stealing and swearing falsely and admitting that you stole. Dafka over here. Why is it over here? It should stand alone. I don't know, like Gabay Olcha time. Why mention the Gabay Gzela? Says it's Fasemes. It says in the name of the Chiddush HaRim, or Adoni Skeni Moriv Rabbi. The reason why it's over here is because we have to realize that every sin is essentially stealing from Hashem. He gave us the world, right? He gave us the world as a means to an end. He never gave us the world as an end, right? Most people live the world as an end unto itself. It's an end unto itself, right? More power, more pleasure, right? More this, more that, more the next thing, depending which psychologist they happen to use, right? Etc. Right? So the world becomes an end to itself. He never gave it to it to be an end to itself. He only gave it to it as a means to an end. So therefore, anytime a person abuses his right to life, he essentially is stolen from Hashem. That's why this Fasema says that it makes its appearance over here. Further, the Parsha of Sota. Okay, the Bnei Ben Yisrael v'Marta Alem Ish Ish Kisiste Ishto Umala Bo Mal. Parsha of Sota. Without going into all of the pratim, right, of the Parsha, if we. Right? Again, because we're doing more of a survey of different aspects of the parsha, right? The din: a woman conducts herself inappropriately, right? She becomes suspect. Her husband warns her in front of Adim not to what he called not to to be secluded with this man again. She secludes herself again. Da da da. People see. Now he has to go through the whole tekes, the entire ceremony of Sotah. So you might think, right? You might think that the ikar of this is we're going to make a public display of this woman, right? I mean, there's no doubt she's embarrassed beyond her gazoo, right? It's a very debasing ceremony, right? It's a very
up to the temple.
Right. It's a very debasing ceremony. It's not a happy moment, right? But in any event, right? So we assume that even if she turns out that she's really caught, she's blameless.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, obviously, what do you call it? She hasn't been perfect, because she wouldn't have gotten herself into this mess in the first place. But she's blameless, at least in terms of the main thing: did she actually commit adultery or not? So it is a debasing ceremony. So you'd say, what the purpose of this is? We're going to make a public display out of this person, right? And people will not do this anymore because the shame is unbelievable. That is the bottom line of the entire ceremony. It says the Sefer HaChinuch, that's not the bottom line of the entire ceremony.
Yeah.
It's not. Right? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Shorosh mitzvah nu nigla l'chol roi HaShemesh hu shevach godol ba'uma. Everyone who sees this mitzvah, right, realizes, anybody who can see the sun realizes this is an incredible praise to the Jewish people. L'yos lano tachbula, that we should have a methodology. L'hotzi mitoch libeinu achshad v'nishoseinu. The goal is to remove suspicion, right, from the heart of the husband vis-a-vis his wife. That's the goal, says the Sefer HaChinuch. L'hotzi mitoch levavenu hachshad v'nishoseinu. V'nasan lanu hakel mofes l'adas inyan zeh hanela mishar amim. No one else can know this. Other nations don't know it. Right? Maybe it's better for them they don't know it. Maybe better, yeah, maybe not, who knows. Whatever. Yeah? Umitoch kach tisrabe bein ish liishto ava v'shalom shalem v'zareinu yeh kodosh. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, and out of this ceremony, which once again restores, right, the healthy atmosphere of shalom bayis, right, of ava and shalom, of love and peace, right, as opposed to war and peace, right, in the Jewish home, v'zareinu yeh kodosh, and out of that, yeah, our seed will be holy. Our seed will be holy, zareinu yeh kodosh, because it's really called, it emanates from a framework of ava v'shalom. So once again, this is restoring. Here we have, we're not talking macroscopic in terms of the Jewish people whole, sending out those unclean parts. Here we're talking about realigning the Jewish home. Yeah? The nucleus of the entire Jewish people, the Jewish home, realigning, yeah, something that's become unstable within the Jewish home. Further. The next parsha after Sota is Nazir. Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'amata aleim ish o isha ki afli lindor neder nazir lohazir la'ashem. Parsha of Nazirus. So it says Rashi, ish, right? Ki afli. Right? Yafli means yafrish, to separate himself. Just like a pellet, a wonder, is intellectually, is cognitively beyond my grasp. It's beyond me. So to also hear, Nazirus is where I create a situation where I've now separated myself from the rest of the hoi polloi, as it were. I'm now separate. I don't drink wine, etc., etc., etc. So says Rashi, Laman ispecha parshas Nazir, the parshas Sota. Why are the two parshas juxtaposed, the story of Nazir to the story of Sota? Right? Lomer lecha, to say to you, shekol haroa sota bekilkula, anyone who sees a sota in her kilkul. What does that mean, her kilkul? In other words, when she's going through this debasing ceremony, right? The Beis HaMikdash, on the way to the Beis HaMikdash, etc. Yazir atzamun ayayin, he should separate himself from wine. She may be the day niyuf, because wine, we know, brings a person to Kalas Rosh, right? Lightheadedness. And from lightheadedness, yeah, a person is capable, God forbid, of being over every sort of avera. It's on my knee of adultery. Says the Chol Mavaser, it's also brought in, I think, in the Sfasemis, I think. The Chemash Akosov, the Gemara. Rabbi Yomer, Lama Nisbecha Parshas Nozir, the Parshas Sota, Lo Melecha Shekol, Roa Sota, Bekilkul Yazir Atzvo Min Ayayim. But Lama Yazir Atzvo, yes. Why? Halohulo Chata, I didn't sin. Why am I separating myself from wine? Maybe this lady should separate herself forever from wine, right? But why should I separate myself from wine? Because she sinned. Record, I separate myself from wine. Rakshu, Kamosha Amarnu, Shekevan Shehizmin, Hashem Yizbarach, Leneged Einav, Hasota Bekilkula, Ein Ze Ela Kadeshi Yilamed Es Atzmo, Lahazir Atzmo Minayayim. And if I see it, or like Rabbi Tzadik says, yeah, right? Tzadik in the Koma Tzemincha says below, if you see it, if Hashem shows it to you, why'd you see it? To tell you, you got a little bit of this inside of you also. Otherwise, right?
Wouldn't happen.
You wouldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You would see it's like, it reminds me of like the story they say about Rashi. I don't remember who gives the explanation. I can't remember who gives the explanation of Rashi. Rashi says that the ephod, part of the Mishkan, was what you call like a vest, like the French princesses wear when they're riding.
Mm-hmm.
How does Rashi know about the vests that the French princesses wear when they're riding? So they say, I don't remember who says it. I can't remember who says it. He says, Rashi's walking the street, right? And he had a suffix, because there is a discussion. We show him the different opinions of what the ephod looked like, right? So Rashi, what he called, walking the street, and one of these horses pulled up in front of him, and he was shocked, he startled, he looked up, right, there's a horse there, and there's one of these princesses on the thing with this type of vest. He says, why did I see this? Ah, must be I saw it, so I should know what the ephod looks like, right? Whether this is true or not true, right, I don't know. Like, I can't remember, I really can't remember who said it. But anyway, but that they do, it is said, I didn't make it up. So why did I see this? Someone who's showing himself in this, words, why did I see this? Why does this happen to me? So a person who sees Sota Bekilkula, right, he should be menazer himself from Yayin. Because if he sees it, he sees that there's a problem inside of him also. It's meant to remind him, right? You're, God forbid, you're not there, but you're on the continuum someplace, right? I mean, using that logic, you know, heaven forfend, maybe we should all be Nazirim, because the world is the way the world is. But, okay, we're not doing that.
Right.
Further. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor, right? Daber el Bnei Yisrael, on page 2, I think it's on the back there, right? Darbel b'nei Yisrael v'bonav le'mor kosev v'chu es b'nei Yisrael amor lahem. So we're going to synopsize this. But this is a more proactive fashion. And so what we've seen until now is really reactive. Mm-hmm. Cleansing the Tmeim from the Machaneh. Cleansing what do you call the concept of vidui. Right? Vidui, because if we should know that any sin emanates essentially from a theft of appropriate usage of Hashem's world, right? The concept of sota, realignment in the Jewish home, the concept of nazir, right? If one is witness, right, to this sort of aberration in the holiness of Jewish society, then perhaps it's a tapping on his shoulder and saying, hey, bud, maybe you got an issue here too. Maybe you should, lay off the intoxicating, beverages, etc. Now let's look in a more proactive fashion. Birchas Kohani. So it says, Kozev Archu as Bnei Yisrael Amor Lahem. So at last, Amor Lahem is problematic, and Rashi says, what does it mean? You should say it, right? You should say it. So that the Kohen should say the brachos, so everybody should hear. And the Gurariya points out, he says, because I can give you a bracha. I'm standing here, I'll be sitting in my house, and I'll say, Moshe, send the bracha, to Moshe Avram. Yeah? Whatever. Then, what? Bela, what? what's your mother's name again? Bela?
Chaya.
Chaya Bela. Chaya Bela. Chaya Bela. Right? So give him a good, give him a bracha. So if I'm davening, whatever, I don't think he's standing here. Right? I give you a bracha. Mm-hmm. But bebrachas kohanim, we want the people to hear the kohanim giving them the bracha. They have to say it so the people can hear it. Right? They want the people to hear it. Right? Mm-hmm. To hear the bracha. And if you don't mind, just go down to the where is it? To the bottom line, right? The bottom line. He left out the Rabbeinu Bachi. Where's Rabbeinu Bachi? I managed to leave out the Rabbeinu Bachi. Oh no, here it is. Yeah, the next citation. I tell you, it's not the next citation. Rabbeinu Bachi. You see, that's the third little paragraph there on page 2. Rabbeinu Bachi says, "Al derech midrash, ko zivarchu, ko chafhei, ko zivarchu, masalem akurish bochu abrochos le kohanim." Bematana, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Kohanim the ability to mevarach Klal Yisrael as a matana, as a matana. Ki koach biyodam levarach Yisrael, that they should have the ability to mevarach the Jewish people. Ulefisha asid limsor lehem arba ve'esrim matanos kahuna. The Kohanim are entitled to 24 matanos kahuna. Right, 24 different things need to be given to the Kohanim. Right, Trumas Meiser, right, Zeruah Chalayim Keva, Chaz V'Shok inside the different Korbanos, etc. There are 24 Matnos Kahuna. Right, this here, the Birchas Kohanim, that the Kohanim give the Jewish people Bracha, is introduced with the word Ko, to tell them, this is the 25th Matana that I'm giving you, the ability to bless the Jewish people. The other 24 are received in what we ordinarily understand as receiving. You've got some produce of one sort or another. You've got your Trumas Meiser, right? You've got your Zeruah L'Chayim Keva. You've got something you can put in your hand. Here, your hand, as it were, yeah, is giving to someone else, and that's a matana to you, to be able to give them a bracha.
That's tough to understand, but go ahead.
In other words, my ability to give a Jew a bracha, that's a matana to me. It's a matana to me. Let's think for a second. Like we said before, that we saw before that the Svasemis pointed out that the din of vidui, of confession, of a sin, makes its appearance here in the discussion of Gzela. Why? Because we're trying to understand that that any sin is really stealing. Because the Rebbe Shlomo gave us the world as a means. He didn't give it to us an end. In other words, every opportunity, let's talk Svasemistic, like we talked before, right? Every opportunity to become more similar to my Creator, to attach myself to my Creator, by fulfilling his mitzvos, by showing his love of the Jewish people, by giving a bracha to the Jewish people, right, etc. I have transformed, such a deep part of me into, what do you call it, into a means to connect to him, as opposed to, right, I give you a bracha, so, you know, why be critical? People, you know, I give you a bracha. So they're saying to themselves, me.
Who am I?
Right. Well, that's you. That's you saying. But people saying, I'm giving a bracha. I gave him a bracha. Right. He wanted a bracha from me. Right. My thumbs are super glued to my suspenders. Right. Yeah, etc. I gave him a bracha. People want my bracha. Wow. Isn't that special? Isn't that special? I didn't even have to go to Wharton, and people want me to give them a bracha. That's special. So that's, of course, upside down and inside out, right? Koz v'chu, the ability to give a bracha, to another Jew is a matana to you, because you've transformed the it's such a deep point of where your ego, where your ego is just waiting, as it were, to what he called to swallow it up and say, yes, that's me, and you've transformed in that. No, it's my schus. That's a matana. That's a matana.
Like my age, I can give a bracha now. Before I couldn't.
Okay. It's a matana. It's a matana. It's a matana to be able to do that. It's an imitation. It's imitating the Creator. So at any event, right? Any event. So so we have. If you think for a second, these two ideas. The idea of, on the one hand, the Jewish people should be cognizant of the fact of receiving the bracha. And the second, that the Kohanim should see their ability to give the bracha, it's a matana to them. That's a healthy, healthy Jewish organism. Right? They should know they're receiving a blessing from their Kohanim. And not just they should be blessed, they should know that the Kohanim with love are blessing them. And the Kohanim should realize the ability to bless is a matana to them. Right. That is a, what do you call it? That is a healthy organism.
Mm-hmm.
That is a healthy organism. And then just to go over just briefly right, we've talked about before the blessings. Yivrechecha. So Rashi tells us we should be blessed first with what do you call it? With parnasa, right? Yishmerecha. Right. Rashi says that we. It shouldn't be taken away by listim, by bandits, because we live in a world where we're not always living in the highest level. If we're not living at the highest level of spirituality, we are subject to what he called, what people refer to, the vicissitudes of life. So I need an additional bracha of, right, of protect it. And once you've given it to me, I shouldn't lose it because I'm living on a lower level of life. I'm asking for additional protection. But the Or Chaim HaKodesh adds a new idea, and that idea is Yishmerecha is I should be successful, but my success shouldn't mess me over. I need protection from that. When I'm successful on a fiscal level, so unfortunately we have heard say that it causes people's hat size to change, right? Because their head swells, right? Their head swells.
But it costs them money then.
Okay, that's a way to reduce it again. But in any event, recall, but their head swells. Their head swells. And that's a catastrophe. Because once again, once I've done that, then I'm no longer living in the world of where the world is a means to an end, right? Now the world's become an end unto itself. Because it's just pretty cool. Once my head swells, because so it feeds my ego, what can I do with this money? More power, more pleasure, more power, more pleasure, more power, more pleasure, blah, 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 blah. At any event. So therefore, Shmira, the Or Chaim HaKodesh, says that it shouldn't mess me over. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka, that Hashem's light from His face should shine upon me and be reflected from me, giving me the capacity to understand both Hashem's Torah, says the Sforno, right? Both His Torah and also from His maising, from His deeds. In other words, the light of Hashem gives him the ability to, on the one hand, to understand the depths of his Torah, because then I'm seeing that light. That light, it's like it is my Torah flashlight, right? The light of Hashem flashlight that enables me to see what's beyond the surface of the Torah, right? To understand the Torah deeply, properly, etc. It also gives me an ability to be able to look out into creation. Be it in his masav, as the Sforno refers to his masav, be it his physical maasim, the structure of the universe, right? The world of what do you call it, that's described in biology and in chemistry and in physics and in mathematics and in cosmology, right, etc. Right? To be able to appreciate that in the proper light. And history, those also is maasim, the events, right? To be able to look at it properly. V'chuneka, Ya'er Hashem panav elecha, so I have the ability to comprehend, right? That's the ore, both the Torah and the world. And then there's vichuneka. I should have chen in other people's eyes. In other words, when the wisdom that a person has, yeah, creates an ambience of where people look at him with chen, right? They look at him with chen. In other words, they look at him, right? He's favorable in their eyes. So that's an unbelievable thing. Because then what happens is people absorb the Torah that's coming, you know, from that source. Mm-hmm. Right? They absorb it. Because what do you call it? Because it's you know, it seems like it's reflecting off the right place. It feels right, it feels good, right? And you want to be in that person's presence because the Torah emanates from them. When a person who is trying to say Divrei Torah doesn't have chen, right? When he's not blessed with that chen, people don't receive it. Right? The Torah is broadcast out, but there's no radar dishes picking it up. Because, you know, he's just saying it because he wants to say it, type of stuff. No chen. It's an important thing. It's an important thing. You have to believe. It's like they say you should learn from if the Rebbe's like a malach, you should learn from the Rebbe. Right? You should learn from him. Feel like a malach. A malach. Whatever. But you learn malach, right? Because if you can see his value, as opposed to just thinking, you know, he's a clever guy. Mm-hmm. The difference between whether the person absorbs the Torah or doesn't absorb the Torah. Right? And Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha V'Yaseim L'Chashon. This is the ultimate. Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha V'Yaseim L'Chashon. That's the ultimate maintenance of homeostasis. How? Because that's what I mean. If I mess up. So I come into the house, right? I've just messed up. The father's standing there, right? So, I've done something wrong. She's gonna look down. She's gonna look at me. You create a disconnect, right? Between me and you. But Hashem doesn't do that. Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. He lifts up his face. He lifts up his face. He doesn't turn away from us. He doesn't turn away from us.
But we have to search for him.
Yeah, it's true. Right? And it could be that, what do you call it, that we're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
We're embarrassed. Could be we're looking down, maybe, but he looks at us. Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. Right? And that, in turn, it encourages, yeah, the ending of this separation between the two parties. And finally, the last pasuk in Birchas Kohanim says, "Somewhat Shmi al Bnei Yisrael v'ani avarchem." So it says the Medrash, "Amar of Yeshua ben Levi." The last citation on page 2, "Amar Yeshua ben Levi, minayin shekodesh Baruch Hu misava lebirchas tzadik kohanim." He's misava. Hashem desires birchas kohanim. He desires it. The word tava, I learned from Rav Shapiro, zecher tzadik v'kodesh lebracha. Right? There's a difference between tava and chemda, right? Tava and chemda. In chemda, right? So there's a certain goal, a certain ambience, a certain object that I want to have. In tava is I want to be involved in a process, right? Person has tava for a maisa avera. Mm-hmm. It's what you call it. A person, God forbid, could have he could have both inappropriate chemda for something. I want that object, or I want that person, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's tava. Tava is not what you call it, per se, want the object, want the person. They want an involvement in a process, right?
How do I get there?
What do you call it? You know, a person. Let's say I don't want to use what you call it. I want to use something inappropriate, but let's say a person has a tava, let's say, to steal. Mm-hmm. Right? I can be chomed, let's say, I can be chomed I can be chomeg a person's ming vase. It's usher, losachmud, right? But I'm saying I can be chomeg. I want that ming vase. I'm not interested in stealing your ming vase. If I could transmogrify that ming vase into my rishus, but I'm just steal it, right? So that's fine by me. And then there's a person, what do you call, who just loves to steal. A kleptomaniac, nagid, right? And that's a person who's an unhealthy person, right? But what do you call, let's just use that as an example. So the kleptomaniac, it's not so much per se, I mean, what do you call it, at least in the way we're describing it, right? He has a desire to steal. He can steal things that are small even. He just wants to steal. So he has tava for the act of stealing, right? The person who wants a ming vaz doesn't have tava for the ming vaz. He's got chemda for the ming vaz. I want the object. You get the difference?
The act. One is an act.
One is the act. One is the involvement of the act, and the other one is the outcome.
Hmm.
Here it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misave lebirchas kohanim. Shem Kaviyochel has tava for birchas kohanim. Why? Because the dynamic, like we described before, of the Jewish people, right, called recognizing we're receiving a bracha with love from the Kohanim, and they bring it down from Hashem. Hashem loves us. Our brothers, the Kohanim, right, called our nurses, moochers, etc., they love us, and they're giving this bracha from Hashem. Mitzad Sheni, the Kohanim, we're giving the bracha to know, right, to know that this is a gift that you have the ability to give the bracha. That process, Hashem is misavet to. Because that's a healthy Jewish people. That's healthy Jewish people. And finally, once again, right on page 3. So there, we're talking about the Nesiim, the inaugural process of the Mishkan. They gave to what he called the first brought the Eglos Tzav. They brought the covered wagons westward ho, right? 12 oxen, right? Each grouping of two Nesiim, bringing one ox, right, the 12 Nesiim. Each grouping of two Nesiim brought one ox, right, so six times, record this, two is 12. They brought two oxen, right? And here also, once again, here we have a very, right, showing both correction and a healthy Jewish organism. Rashi says, why did the Nesiim bring first to inaugurate the Mishkan? In the building of the Mishkan, they said, we'll see what the Jews don't bring, the people as a whole don't bring, and then whatever is left over, we'll bring. No, Kilu, right, a stance which is reminiscent, once again, of the state of having one's thumb superglued to his suspenders. Right. Well, what they can't bring, we'll take care of. We, at the Jewish, whatever, we'll take care of it, etc. Of course, the Kalisa brought everything, and they were left with nothing to bring, except that they had such charata that Hashem brought them the stones of the Choshen to bring. Right? They found those stones brought by clouds to their doorstep. Right? By clouds to their doorstep. So that's what they gave, because they had such charata. But meanwhile, they were going to have a repetition of this. So the first thing they did is they brought these eglos tzav. They brought these covered wagons. And Moshe didn't know what to do with them. Right? Hashem says, accept it from them. Because the B'nai Gershon, the B'nai Merari, will use it to carry the Mishkan. When they brought these eglos tzav, the Sforno says, Agol al shnei nesiim la'os achva b'neihem. Right, each grouping of two Nesiim brought, right, two oxen, and then so that means we call it six groupings. Six times two is 12.
Mm-hmm.
Why they bring it like that, right? He says to do what laos achva b'neihem asher ba yu reuim shetishra shchina b'neihem. Right, by showing there was brotherhood amongst them, because I didn't just do it by myself; I did it with my brother, and together we brought these oxen. Ka'amru v'hibishur melech bisasef roshe am. Where does the Shechina rest? Right, bisasef roshe am. When the roshe am are unified, Yachad al hefech cholak libam, right? Anta yashamu, as opposed to when, God forbid, there's divisiveness, right, in our midst, then we become blameworthy. So the very nature of their, first they rectified what they had done before, once again, realigning, you know, they made a mistake before, we sat on their haunches, etc., on their laurels, right, we're going to bring what everybody else doesn't bring. They didn't repeat that mistake again, this time they came first. They showed eagerness in the place of replacing their indolence, yeah, or their self-satisfied indolence that they demonstrated before, by not bringing things till waiting to the end. This time they brought first, and they brought it in unity, because they realized that is a value that we need as we are going to inaugurate the Mishkan. We need that value injected into the guts of the issue, unity. And interestingly enough, just the last citation from Ben Abachye. See there? V'nei kol echad ve'echad manesim kiven b'minchaso shetia k'minchas chaveiro v'chein b'shiro mishkala. Each one decided that he was going to bring exactly the same thing as his friend brought. So there shouldn't be any difference between them. Once again, unity. V'haisa kavanas kol echad ve'echad mehanesim k'neged shifto. And yet each one had a unique kavana. Right? In other words, in their mind, each shevet, Yehuda is Malchus, Yisachar is Torah, Zvun is support of Torah, right? All the different shvatim. Each one had in mind, right? The Master Register discusses, each one had in mind what's unique, how what he's bringing now, right, is symbolic of something unique to his shevet. And yet, each person brought exactly on the surface, exactly the same thing. So on the one hand, this is a new look, once again, yeah, in the healthy Jewish organism of individuality. We're all different, and yet unity. Nowadays, I shouldn't say nowadays, it's the way it always is. Yeah, in order to be an individual, you must look different from somebody else. Right? No, it's not an easy thing. But the God forbid, the thought that I should look at all like someone else is like, you know, that's time for it to commit sewer pipes. Right? If I'm wearing the same tie, I'm wearing the same outfit as someone else, right? This is a catastrophe. This is a catastrophe. If I have exactly the same thing as someone else, where's my personality? Where's my individuality? Where's my uniqueness? Etc. But here, they realized that what they called lehefech, everybody the same, right, forges a degree of unity, individuality. A person is endlessly individual, but it doesn't need to be broadcast on the outside. Right? I don't need to make my mark of individuality on the universe by wearing a sweatshirt. My mother, right, was an orangutan, yeah, and she abandoned me. Won't you take me home, right? You don't have to be outlandish in order to be what you call it and to be individual. Individuality really is more deeply defined by something that's on the inside. Shame to parts of fame and I'm shoving, just as our faces are not the same, they are same and I'm shoving, so the way we look at things is not the same. Seder. So it's sort of a lot of different things, but I think the common denominator between all these different spokes in this wheel, you know, Havdil, that we're trying to describe, is that they all revolve around the same hub, right, of the establishment of a healthy Jewish organism, both in a proactive fashion and a reactive fashion, right? When to realign, how to realign, how to align to begin with, connection to one another, etc. Okay. So have a good Shabbos. Mm.